everybody. We are back with an audio version of our podcast. We are two poets. My name is Corey.
And I'm Ben.
And we're here to tickle your ears, as they say.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, tickle. It's kind of a weird thing to say, you know, that is, tickle your ears.
That is a little weird. I imagine a guy with a giant feather.
Coming out of his fedora.
Just and he's a feather. Like, you're like just coming out of nowhere and just like wiggling it.
And that's how we will talk about it for years to come. Tickling ears.
We're going to tickle your ears.
When you hear something, we will tickle your ears.
Today, we're going to take out our giant ear feather.
This is getting
creepy. This is now going to be an ASMR podcast. Oh, God, no.
Ooh, I heard another voice. Hey, everyone. We are joined today by a special guest, Hogan Burley. What's up, Hogan?
What's up?
What up?
Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for letting me sit in.
Yeah, we had to kidnap her and put her in this tiny office and lock the door. And
yeah.
You're hot.
Oh, hey.
Hey, I'm going to leave the room for a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, we did mention we treat all our guests nice on the show. So.
I mean, true.
Yeah, but we don't kiss and tell. So,
And before we get in trouble, yes, this is Ben's wife. Yeah,
this is my wife. My wife.
I don't want to get in trouble. We are. This is actually the first time we've been together again in the same room, recording. It's been a while.
So fun.
Everything else has been online through Zoom, and we're finally back together again.
Yeah.
And you know, we figured to throw another guest in there, right?
Yeah.
This is your second time on the show, correct?
I know. Yeah. And this is just because, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
So Ben and Hogan were in town today here in Enid painting some windows, right?
Yeah.
I painted two businesses today. Had a lot of fun. I just thought maybe I'd chill and read a book while you guys recorded, but
nope, I made her hop on. Nope. I was like, I've got three microphones set up, so
you're here,
hop on.
You're gonna work.
Tore me away from my book, but it's okay.
Shucks.
You just thought you were done working.
Yeah.
This is work.
Instead of tickling your mind, you're now tickling your ears.
Oh, yay.
So painting some windows, huh? We'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
I definitely want to ask you about that and let you maybe talk a little bit about your business, what you got going on, because I think it's pretty sweet. But we should probably update people. You know, we're finally meeting back again, and, you know, hopefully you all have been enjoying the reaction videos we've been doing. Our Bob Dylan one and the Beatles one really took off.
They were pretty fun.
People like the Beatles and Bob Dylan. Apparently.
Yeah. Who knew? Who thought?
Some things never change.
That's true. Bob Dylan definitely never changes.
Well, until he went electric.
Until
you know,
he decides. And then he went Christian.
He's done everything.
Do you remember the Christian phase?
Oh, yeah.
Christian Bob Dylan talking about, the Lord has saved me. And then, like, people would listen to really horrible renditions of him singing hymns or something.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he, like, didn't do anything for a while. And then he came back and then he was, like, rock and roll again.
Yeah, he's like
never mentioned God again.
Oh gosh.
Like, did you ever hear his big Christmas hit, Must Be Santa?
No.
Oh my gosh. You gotta watch the music video.
Oh, I gotta see
Must
that.
Be Santa.
That's amazing. Is it 12 minutes long?
It's a pretty long song and the video is just nuts. And my wife hates that video because apparently my father-in-law, her dad, used to put it on every Christmas and force her to watch it. So
we have to react to this.
Oh my
gosh. Christmas time reaction video.
Come Christmas time, we'll do a reaction video that Must Be Santa.
And Lauren should be there.
Oh
so
my gosh.
We're going to make her watch it, but not tell her.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Be like, we are doing this amazing reaction video. We want you here. Yeah.
Lauren, if you're listening right now, just cover your ears and don't listen to the last 30 seconds.
After the fact, we already said it.
Just pretend we didn't say anything.
But yeah, so we are back audio. So yeah, if you notice, you're like, wow, Spotify just said I have another episode from Two Poets. That's crazy.
Yes, you do.
Excuse me. I got something in my throat. But yeah, we're going to start getting back to doing our audio podcast. We decided we missed it so much. Doing the reaction videos is a lot of fun, but it's also great just getting together and talking about creative stuff. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start doing a little bi-weekly thing. So every other week we'll do something different. So 1 week we'll do the audio. And then the next week we'll put out a reaction video and then so on and so forth. So that way, 2 times a month, you'll get audio. 2 times a month, you'll get video.
I'm so excited. It's been a long time since we sat down.
That is very true.
I'm really excited just to be able to hang out and have fun conversations again and do fun writing projects and then do reaction videos because that's probably some of the most fun I've had in a while.
It's just been a
watching, lot of fun. Reacting to videos and...
Yeah.
The one that we did on the poem "Daddy, Are You Proud of Me?" Mm-hmm. Did you see that? The artist mm-hmm. from the original poem actually commented on the video, and he was like, "Hey, thanks for
that's so great
watching my stuff."
And yeah, I just realized I never responded to him, so I need to respond back.
Okay, well,
I'm sorry, everyone. I'm bad at responding to stuff on social media.
We're definitely gonna respond. Maybe he'll be a guest.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be pretty sick.
Yeah, but are we still going to be writing poems, Ben?
Oh, yeah, we are. We're actually going to take on some challenges that we're going to give ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're really excited for that, because how cool would it be to have a conversation about someone like, I don't know, Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And then we're like, let's write a poem in the style of Lawrence Ferlinghetti. Mm-hmm. And then we come back the next week and read our, like, I'm excited for that. That could be a cool possibility.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And we get to keep writing. So that's always good.
Yeah.
And you know, we love punishment. That's why we keep challenging mm-hmm. ourselves.
That's what artists do, is they just punish themselves over and over.
Yep. Torture yourselves. Mm-hmm.
The idea sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the work and you're like, why did I do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you finish and you're like, I'm so proud of that.
It'll be so much easier.
And then
next
you forget
time.
How hard it was. Yeah. And then you do it all over again.
Yep. The endless cycle.
The plight of the tortured artist.
Oh, yes.
The torture is self-inflicted.
Cool. So there you have it, everybody. That is what we are going to be doing. So be expecting audio every other week and video every other week. And we're going to start using a new program for when we do our recording remotely for the audio section. So we should be able to actually have video for the audio podcast as well. So if you do still like the video format, you should still be able to watch the video of the podcast or listen to the audio. So we're going to make sure we do that.
I'm excited for that. That was probably one of the smoothest transitions like we've ever had with an audio or with a video call. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so easy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We started using Riverside. We were like, forget you Zoom. Zoom sucks for this kind of thing.
Yeah, it really does.
Zoom's great for business meetings, but that's
and having
it.
Multiple people on. That's nice, but this is going to be really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you, Riverside. So sponsor us now.
Yeah, please. We need the money.
We need the money, please. So, Hogan, so you guys were down today to do some painting on some windows. So tell us a little bit about what that is. Are you like doing what most people do, getting some graffiti and like spraying a bunch of penises on some windows?
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay, sweet. So if you want to hire
it's
Hogan.
True.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I do alter from that sometimes. I recently launched my new spring designs for windows. And so I had two businesses today that I was doing the new spring designs.
Nice.
And I've kind of changed up my style a little bit here recently to kind of, I don't know, I've been inspired a lot by stained glass for one. And I kind of wanted to, kind of change my style a bit to be a little bit more vintagey, because I love vintage. Mm-hmm. So like soft muted colors. And then looking at stained glass to kind of weave my line art in a more of a stained glass type look. So I was trying that out today and having a lot of fun with it. Mm-hmm. I've been super, super excited to kind of step into that, because usually I've been really doing a lot more muted window mm-hmm. art, like mostly white. Sometimes if there's color, it's like really this like subtle pops of color. Mm-hmm. So this time for these designs especially, I wanted to just try out the new vintage color palettes I had arranged and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was fun. We got some sick footage too. I can't wait to like post a lot of the footage that we got, because it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm super thankful, because Ben, he's been coming along and like helping on that side of it, because it's so hard when you're in the zone creating. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to stop and think to get photos or videos of yourself.
I've never done that.
It's so hard. And then it really kind of takes you out of the zone a little bit too, because you have to think, oh, how do I set up the shot? Let me get my tripod. It's so hard. So I'm so glad he came with me today to do that. He got so much good stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
So, self-promotion is one of the hardest things for an artist
do. Yes, it is.
Because you're already managing so much. You're already managing design. You're managing client. You're managing time. And then in the middle of that, you're like, crap, I didn't get any pictures. I didn't get any footage. And so it's really fun for me to be able to step in and be like, let me do this. I'll take this off your hands. You don't have to worry about it. And then I get to have fun holding the camera. Mm-hmm. And we get some really good stuff out of it. And I think every artist needs a friend to like step in and, you know, and like, 100%. You know, help them promote themselves, because self-promotion is hard enough.
Yeah. And when you feel like you're alone doing it, that's a lot. That's a lot on top of you. So for sure, it's fun when you're along, because we're talking and chatting and laughing the whole time. And then he's snapping stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to stop. I can just keep in the zone and I can like finish the job. And I think that's just the best way.
And then I get distracted and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the shadows on the sidewalk. I'm taking photos for 15 minutes of a shadow.
You did actually do that, right? Did.
It was so awesome looking. At some point I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
It's so just like, a lot of fun. Yeah, I do that a lot too. Cause like, here at my job, like I'm also in charge of all the video editing and stuff, you know, and making sure that we're shooting. But like every time we start a job, like halfway through, I'm like, I didn't film any of it. Yeah. I forgot the cameras. And that's like the worst. I'm like, that's like part of my responsibility, you know?
It's hard.
But it's like, cause you just want to dive into the art and just go for it. Mm-hmm. And then just remembering like, well, hold on, now I got to spend 20 minutes setting up the camera. You know, especially if you're doing it yourself, then like, okay, the battery died an hour into it. I got to go change the battery. Yeah. Oh, memory card's full. Crap. No,
it's
I gotta,
always that. It's always something.
That's a full-time job, man. You need, it's like if you had someone to just manage that, then it would be so much easier. And then at the end you have all this footage. You could like put a documentary together or something if you wanted to. That's always my thought. I'm like, we should document this so we can make like a film out of it at some point.
Yeah.
And then you get halfway through it. And you're like, we didn't document the first half of this.
Yeah.
So it's not going to make any sense if I post this footage.
So I totally agree with that. It's hard to keep up with it. And that's why it's really fun when you are able to just have one person that focuses on this thing and have one person focusing on this and you just come together and it's like this great collaboration.
Yeah.
So you say you do like window art, right, is basically what a majority of it is. And so you say your spring line. So is that mostly like floral and like?
This season I, so again, taking inspiration from stained glass, I noticed that there were a lot of beautiful floral stained glass designs out there that were really catching my eye. And so I did a couple different designs based off of that, one of which features hummingbirds as the main.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of add birds. I love birds. So I love florals, but like I love animals too. And so kind of trying to work that in. And I mean, I think that's perfect for spring. And hummingbirds are really meaningful to me because of a family member of mine. And so that was a really, really special design to put together. And then the other design I painted today was a tulip. Theme. So
definitely
again,
spring themed.
Very, very spring themed. And I mean, taking like my usual line art that I do, which is what I've done for years now. I've done windows in the past with florals that are just line art, so not filled in at all. Sometimes I've done it where maybe I'll fill in like a flower or two with maybe a little bit of color. But this time I've actually done main color. And then I go on the edges and do kind of like the white line art around the edges.
Cool.
To kind of tie it all together.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool. It kind of harkens to the vintage, the love of vintage that I have, and still kind of keeping it modern and fresh. And I don't know, I just feel like I've wanted some color in my life lately. Yeah. So it's been fun to dabble in it.
Yeah. And do you do this mainly for like corporations, like businesses? Is that kind of what your main target is?
Over the years, like we've painted for businesses, the majority, and then also had the opportunity to paint for a lot of homes over Christmas too. But for the main part, it's like local boutiques, coffee shops, some bigger businesses. But the ones that have my heart are the local shops, where you can build like the good connections, and you know, you have the people that you just know in everyday life anyway. Yeah. And then you're coming and you're adding beauty to their space, and I don't know. It just is really meaningful to me. So.
Everything for us usually revolves around relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like if we are involved in something, it's because we have relationships with those people. And that's the type of businesses that we enjoy, that Hogan really does a lot of is are businesses that she has relationships with people or people that she wants to get to know because she just loves their business.
Yeah.
We've had so many people that were like, we love what you do as a business. Let's help you like get more attention. You know, let's do something to actually elevate your space. And so that's been really, really fun. And it's funny because like that's just kind of who she is and who we are that we don't even think about it. We're just like, oh, everything's relational. And that's kind of where we're drawn our more relational aspects of things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, and I'm learning this more and more as the years go on, just kind of what art is to me. And even over the past few months, I've kind of done a refresh and rebrand for my art business that I've had for a few years. I did a lot of soul searching and looking inward, like what is art to me? And if I'm going to be refreshing what I do, kind of presenting it of like, this is me, this is what I love to provide. It is stories. Like that's the basis of it for me. I'm a writer at heart. And so anytime I'm creating art, there's usually some type of story tied to it for me, be it I did that design because it has hummingbirds and I have a loved one that who, you know, we used to watch hummingbirds on her porch when I was younger and stuff like that, that just means a lot to me. Or going to a business and they say, oh, you know, we love these type of flowers because these mean something to our brand or whatever. Or, you know, I paint pet portraits too. And so painting the pet and knowing the pet's story as I'm like laying it out on the paper and painting the fur and the eyes and like that means something to me. So I recently rebranded to kind of just encompass all of that. So my new business name is Fable and Script. I feel like that kind of like, I don't know, kind of hand in hand with everything that I just love and hold dear. So I don't know, you know, I think my art is just all tied up together. My writing, anything I do with painting, anything I do with my hands, I feel like it's all connected.
Yeah.
So. Well, absolutely. It's cool to see you getting back into things that you loved doing before. So like getting back into the pet portraits, that was really special, and getting back into the more of the calligraphy and that style of stuff. Like she had, when she announced her rebrand, she wasn't even advertising certain things yet, and people were already reaching out.
Yeah,
because they remembered her from years ago, and they're like, "Oh, you did this for us, and we loved that. Would you do it again?" And so it's been really cool to kind of go back to the roots of why art is special to you, and it's through storytelling, and it's through like that, like preserving memories. That's a big part of your art.
It's been so special to just remember all these connections I've made and have people from the past that I've done things for reach out again. And they're like, oh, I'm so glad you're taking commissions again. Cause I hadn't taken them for a couple years. And, to immediately have that reception when I had done so much soul searching and so much like change for my just art business as a whole, to have that reception from people who have worked with me in the past was really, really good. Cause I'm like, okay, obviously I'm doing something right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm connecting with people through my art. And I don't know. That's the whole reason behind it. It makes you not feel so alone.
When
you're able to provide for other people and you see them enjoying what you've created for them. So I don't know. I think that was a tangent on what you asked.
No,
it's relational.
That's great. Well, which brings up a good question. You know, as artists, you know, typically it's kind of known that artists fall in the trap of being self-isolators, you know, as artists, you know, so how important do you feel is it to put yourself out there in your community, personal, face-to-face, versus trying to build your brand online and get yourself out there that way? Like, how do you feel, like, what do you feel is more important? You know, and so, cause I mean, I feel like you can go either way. Like you can totally build your brand online without ever talking to anybody, but is it important to also have the aspect of, like you said, going and meeting those local small shops, building those connections. And also it's like, it's also like you giving back to your community at some point, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's important too. So how do you kind of feel that plays into it?
Well, I, you can try and build something online, but you still have to be relational about it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just posting stuff and people are seeing it, they may not even know that you do it as a business. They're just like, oh, they make really great art. That's cool. But when you start having interactions with people and you are actively like making connections, like that's really beneficial. Nothing beats face-to-face relational contact. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, she was out there today doing a window and someone walks up and is like, oh, this is so cool. It's so fun to watch you do this. Was it their grandma or
mother-in-law?
Something? Yeah, he's like, my mother-in-law did this similar style of art, and it just so like cool. Led to a great conversation. Yeah. And then someone else came up and they're like, hey, I have this event coming up. I need a custom piece done for it. And we're like, well, let's talk. Let's exchange info. We got our number, you know, and so we're building connection. And that comes through just doing the work, like getting out and being visible. Mm-hmm. And you can do that online, but I don't think it will work as well as like people seeing you in the flesh and having conversations with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the most important part is, just having a relational connection that people feel they can actually approach you and actually have conversations with
you. Yeah. Yeah. I think cause that's like different. Yeah. Seeing a picture of a mural online and actually going and standing in front of the mural are two completely different things.
For sure.
Two just complete separate feelings, or seeing a digital scan of a print versus seeing somebody actually drawing and coloring and doing that print live. It's two completely different things.
Yeah,
for sure.
The best thing too is when you're in the middle of it and they just stumble upon it and they're watching you do it. Like you've had so many instances where you're doing windows or you're painting a mural or something and people are literally just sitting there watching you.
Yeah.
It's been really cool.
The fun thing is just being able to talk about why I'm doing it and why I love it and finding that connection with people and seeing their love for art come through and how they're receiving it. And I don't know, just really good conversation. I've definitely had really, really good connections with people over social media. I have people that I consider friends that are other artists or other people who appreciate art. And those are so valuable to me. And then when I do things in public, even going to, say, a book signing and the conversations I'm able to have with people who love reading fantasy novels and or other people who want to publish a book, but they're too afraid to. And so they ask questions, or meeting other authors, like local authors that love connecting with people who have also published. Like, I've made such good connections, and I try to encourage this to other artists, whatever your art form is, if it's books, if it's like doing things with your hands, go out and like do the markets, do the book signings, publicly paint something.
Yeah.
Because when you connect with people face to face, like you're saying, it's just so special.
Yeah.
You really can't beat that feeling. And again, like it helps you remember, okay, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing matters, even if it's because I connected with this person today. Like that matters. That's why I'm out here doing it.
Sign up for the show. Stand behind the booth.
Yeah.
Have the conversations. Even if they don't buy anything, leave them with something that they take away. They remember you, and you know it, if nothing else, like get them to follow you on social media so you can keep having conversations.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you go to the booth and you meet someone and you have a really good conversation and they follow you on social media that night, next day, be like, hey, it was so great to talk to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'll be in your area this next whatever. I would love to meet up again. You know, it'd be cool to see you or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not an extrovert. I know both of you guys know that.
Yeah.
And you guys can understand that. I'm not an extrovert by any means. But when it comes to meeting like-minded people who have a love for beautiful things and have passions of their own, sitting down with them and talking just about the things we love together and the things we appreciate over a cup of coffee or whatever, like that, I will take that any day. Like that type of connection is so important to me, mm-hmm. and that fuels me. Yeah. So even though I'm extremely introverted, and I can understand the artists who are afraid to go do the markets or afraid to do book signings or whatever it is, I can understand that. Because I get that too, like at times I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to. But then I remind myself, well, last time, remember you met this author, yeah. and now yeah. you're friends with her on social media. And now, like, now you guys have, like, you've read your books, like each other's books. And it's really, really meaningful and really important to do that.
Yeah.
Don't just stay in your house cooped up doing all your things by yourself. That's really valuable too. But remind yourself that, like, there are other people out there who love what you're doing and have the things they love too.
Well, and it's also really fun to follow them. If you meet another artist and then you're like, oh, they're doing a show. Sweet. I'm going to go, I'm going to go show support and go hang out with them. Like, that's fun too. So if you're going to be going out and meeting people, like, give back to them. If they're going to come to your table and talk to you, like, next time you see them, go talk to them, go get a selfie with them. Like,
it's just fun. It's
great. Make those connections.
Yeah. But yeah,
there's an artist here in town named Nathan Guidry. Mm-hmm. He's doing stuff on the ship too, you know, and I know you're listening, Nathan. So he is the biggest cheerleader for local artists and like other artists like that I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't care what artist is sharing something. He is the first one to hit like and share of that artist. Yeah. You know, anytime I post something, he's liking and sharing. And like his whole page is just full of him sharing other artists' work and hyping other artists up. And I'm like, man, everyone needs to be more like that. Who's an artist, you know,
that's where it's at.
Maybe that could be your art.
Yeah, that's
my
true.
My art is simply just showing support for people. Yeah. You're an artist in that way.
That's truly, like,
that's
truly
an artist that leads by example. Heck yeah.
100%. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What's been some of your experiences, Corey, when you're doing like any type of custom design work or any type of shows? Like, you know, you've created so many things. You've got like four businesses on the side, you know, or whatever. So what's been a way for you to actually like find inspiration to like, what's the why behind what you do?
The why is so I don't have to work a normal job.
Yeah. Bruh, that's enough. That is enough of a why.
Yes.
Honestly, that is a big part of it. Yeah. But I don't know. It's just, if I'm not creating something, I'm going crazy.
Yes.
I can't sit still. Like, my wife would be the first one to tell you, like, I can't even watch like a 30-minute show because I'm already just like thinking about the next thing I'm going to do. And like, I'm thinking, oh, I need to do this to this website. I got to make sure to add this to that. You know, like, I can't sit still through the movie. So like, I don't know. It's, I can do a normal job. That's fine. But like, I feel like I just always have to create. Mm-hmm. And I want to create because I want to make the world just a more beautiful place. There's so much negativity and crap going on in the world that like, art is the one thing I feel like we can all attest is just a beautiful thing that we can all just sit back and look at and get true, real emotion from, you know? And so I just feel like the reason why I do things is because I just have that feeling where I have to create something. You know, the world needs more people to create and put things into it that are fun and happy and making you think and sad and beautiful, you know, and actually contributing something that no one else is doing. You're not just following the crowd and bandwagon, you know, stuff. It's like, no, I'm going to actually contribute something that's going to make people think or cry or smile or laugh, you know? And also, like, I can't sit still with one genre of thing either. If I'm painting, then I'm going to go make some prints. If I'm making prints, I'm going to go make some candles. You know, I always have to continuously do something different too.
That's awesome, man.
I totally get that.
So my motivation should be to stop for a while.
Get a rest for a minute.
Yeah. The obsessive nature, it just, that's like the artist's,
that's a whole episode in itself. The obsession of an artist.
It's the foundation and the curse. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Finding that line of, okay, this is a healthy appreciation of learning something new.
Versus I haven't slept in 4 days because I'm on a YouTube rabbit hole of watching people.
I mean, like, case in point, we're in my new studio right now, right? So if you look, Rick, we're sitting in the middle of my new studio. There's the podcasting table where I have all the podcasting gear set up. You know, I got like cables and stuff over here. I have all this music gear over here, guitars, bass. I got drums over here. I got a printmaking station. I got a candle making station. I got a voiceover booth. Mm-hmm. I got paints and markers and drawings, and I have an audio workstation. So like, yeah, it's just everything.
Not to mention a shelf with board games.
Yeah, those are my just grab and go board games, you know, yeah, if I'm bored or something.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's just like the curse of the artist is we have to do everything. Like, mm-hmm, you know, I want to market my stuff, so I got to get good camera equipment.
Yeah,
you know, I want to start promoting things online. I got to get some good audio equipment, you know, and just,
yeah, it's never ending.
It's never ending.
But that's the beauty of it. You're always going to be doing something. You're mm-hmm always going to be moving. At no point are you going to be stagnant. And if you are, you in that stagnant state, find some kind of way to speak about it. You find mm-hmm some kind of inspiration from it. Sometimes sadness and loneliness become great motivators to create, because mm-hmm if you don't, you are literally going to go crazy and die. Like, yeah, that's how it feels sometimes. And so even in the times when you are so busy, you are constantly moving forward. And even in the times when you have nothing, there is mm-hmm like, you have to do something to get yeah through it. And that's, I think that's one of the most beautiful things about art and being a creative, is it doesn't matter what state you're in, something's going to come out of it. Mm-hmm. Whether you meant for that to happen or not, it's going to be there.
Yeah. 100% true.
It's constant progression.
Yeah.
Constant craziness.
Mm-hmm. Something good comes out of the darkness.
Yeah.
It's very true.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man. Deep.
It's what we do here.
It's what we do.
No, it seriously feels so good to be back in the same room.
I know, again. Yeah. It's so nice. It's been a while.
Yeah, I hope you listeners are also happy too that we're back in your tickling your ears, as they say.
Oh, please.
That's my ear feather.
Oh, it tickles. Well, put your pants back on.
Just stroking the mic.
Oh my
God. My gosh. ASMR voice. Please.
Now I got to put the mature tab on it.
Oh no.
Oh
no.
Awesome. All right. So Hogan, tell us once again, where can everybody find your work online? Since talking about promotion and everything else.
Yeah,
Why not?
Thank you. Thank you for wanting that. You can find everything that I'm doing just at my website, HoganBurley.com. I have two different sides of the site, my books and then my art. I recently totally redid the website mm-hmm to have everything, because that's definitely true. Like, when you have so many things yeah that you're trying to do, you're like, yeah, how do
I'm
I
in
even
the process of building a website yeah right now too, because I have too nice many things to yeah put all centralized.
It's yeah like, it's, you hit this moment where you're like, okay, how do I present all of this?
Yeah.
And really, it's just, you're presenting yourself. And this is something I talk with Ben about, because it's hard for him to have any type of self-promotion. For me, I've tried to just find the fun in it. And I don't really think about it as self-promotion. I think about it as, I just want to connect with other people who yeah might like this too, mm-hmm, because I want to connect with people who like the things I like. Because sometimes in everyday life, it is hard to find creative minds who are wanting to write books or wanting yeah to do yeah art, or, you know, so it's like, I just want to put it out there. And if other people like it, that's great. And if they want to read my book too, that's cool too. But, you know, I just love that they're here. So, mm-hmm, you know, I've been being pretty good about it. I'm trying to get back into marketing my book and trying to amp up for the next novel I'm planning on publishing, and then trying to just, you know, be living fully in my art, trying to just put out new designs for windows and doing commissions again. And it's just been good. And it's all been mainly for me to help me, I mean, feel better, because, mm-hmm, you know, yeah, hit a little bit of a rough patch at the end of the year. And so, like Ben was saying, you know, sometimes your darkest places, you're still undergoing growth, even in those moments where you feel like you're stagnant. There still is stuff going on mm-hmm in your mind, within you. Yeah. That, like, you know that you need to get to a better place. And what does that look like? And so that's kind of where I was for, you know, a couple months. Mm-hmm. And it feels like I have kind of hit a I don't know, a revival or something.
I mean, it is. It's a refreshing thing. Yeah. That's one of the keys is like if you focus enough on your art, you focus on creating, you focus on things you're passionate about or even obsessed about, you focus on those things in the times of trial or hardship, those will give back to you. Mm-hmm. They will make it possible for you to get through those things because they will be there for you.
They're always there.
There will be inspiration. There will be something to work on. There will be a way to process through those hard things through your art. So the more that you are giving to yourself in that way, it will give back to you when you hit those hard walls.
Very true. That's why we just grab everything we possibly can so that when we need the help, we already have all of these resources.
And you're not typecasting yourself into one thing. You're not like a calligrapher. Like that's part of your arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not just a muralist. You're not just a window artist. Like you are an artist and you have all these things that you do. And same with you, Corey. Like you are not just a candle maker, you know, like you are, like you're a recording artist and you're a musician and you're a writer and you're a poet and you make candles and you make board games and like you have this arsenal of stuff that you do and those things will give back to you. Mm-hmm. So the more that you expand in your, not even in your interest, just in things that you're like, I need to learn how to do this. Mm. Those are the things that are going to be there for you all the time.
Yeah. This is fun. It's really, really good to pour yourself into something and then that thing pours back into you.
Yeah.
It's the best.
For sure. 100%. That's why we talk each week.
Yes.
That's why we do this, dear listener.
This is why we do it.
Yes. Yeah. So please give us your feedback, what you thought. Thank you so much, Hogan, for hopping in and letting me force you onto the show today.
It's fine.
And joining us. That was great.
We held a gun to your head.
Yeah. They can't
put
see
those
that.
Headphones on.
Because we're not recording video this week.
That's why. Thank you for having me. That was a pleasant
absolutely.
Surprise.
Yeah. It's always great. So you can find Hogan at HoganBurley.com. Mm-hmm. And is it Fable and Script on social media? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Fable and Script on Instagram and TikTok.
Yes.
And then if you are curious just about my writing or anything like that, I'm Hogan Burley on Instagram too. So, I'm just trying to do lots of fun things.
Yeah.
And, you know, just connect with other people who love it too. So,
absolutely. So, dear listener, go give Hogan a follow on all those platforms.
Yeah, thank you.
Go tell her Two Poets sent you. And the cool thing about Hogan is she will write back and have conversations with you. So be ready for that.
She's made some of her best friends through social media connections.
Yes, I have some awesome people that, like, seriously, I think of them as dear friends. And I've never met them in person, but I think they would think of me as a friend too. And that's just the best feeling. Mm-hmm. It really is.
It's true.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we will be back next week we won't be back here. We're going to be doing a reaction video next week, and then we'll be back the week after with another audio version. So remember, listener, we were switching back and forth each week now, so twice a month. So bi-weekly audio, bi-weekly reaction videos. So keep up with that, and we'll be back with a poem on our next audio where we're not going to tell you what it's about.
Because
we get to pick now.
We're going to surprise you.
We're going to surprise you. So thanks for stopping by, everybody. As always, I'm Corey.
And I'm Ben.
And we'll see you next time.
Peace.